Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, May 1st, and we're back.
We're back.
Always, coming to save you the last minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. So how you doing, Jen?
I'm okay. It's been kind of a crazy morning.
Yeah.
Taking care of a kid really makes me wonder if I want kids. I'm like, it's just a total shit show, like tutoring times and this and that. And it's just a whole jumbled mess constantly discussing things that I don't want to discuss.
Mm. So you think this is going to actually affect your decision in the future about kids? Although, you know, when it's your own kids, it's different.
I've been told that.
Yeah. It is. Like when they shit too, you know. I mean, when it's your kid, you can clean up the shit. But when it's somebody else's, it's like, you know, when it's a baby.
Yeah.
It's something else altogether. You know?
Yeah. See, I've been cleaning up coyote shit.
Really?
Because there's a coyote that keeps dropping a deuce right next to the pool.
Wow.
And he dropped him and probably a couple of his buddies, they dropped about 4 deuces by the pool in 2 days.
Whoa.
And then like 3-4 in the front yard.
And you have to clean it up?
The girl I'm nannying for cringes. I just cringe saying the word. She's really nice though, but her friend came over last week and the mom came over too. And my boss was like, oh, well, she would really like the poo cleaned up before they go in the pool. And I'm like, I had just scrambled to go to the grocery store, scrambled to come home. I'm scrambling to put all the things away and change my clothes, because I always change my clothes when I come home from shopping because of the coronavirus and stuff. They say it's very important to change your clothes and just like kind of rinse your hair or whatever. So I'm trying to scramble to get all of these things done. And she's like, oh, can you? She'd really like the poo cleaned up. And she goes, I mean, I can do it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, do it. God damn it.
Yeah, like if you
don't
really...
Don't tell me about it.
Totally.
Know?
Like if you didn't want me to do it, you didn't have to come tell me. You could have just gone and done it.
Right.
And I'm like, do we have like a broom? Like I don't have a dog. Like I don't have a dog. One of the reasons being because I don't want to feel warm, hot shit on my hand through the bag.
I agree.
I just don't want that.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, you have to scoop poop with a litter box. I'm like, yeah, but I'm using a scooper.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. I know. I feel the same way. You know, one of the reasons I don't have a dog is because I don't want to pick up the shit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And with a scooper, once a cat poos in the litter, it like clumps and gets covered in litter. So you're not directly scooping.
Right.
You know, there's a barrier there.
Right.
So I have to go outside and like pick up this poo. And luckily, it was like completely hard as a rock. And I had to pick it up and then I had to scrub it because they were like, oh, there's still tiny bits and pieces there. So then I had to scrub it with like a brush and bleach.
Wow.
And then they're like.
So you moved from New York to end up being a fucking maid and a nanny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
Well, you know, I mean, you're very strong in doing that. You know, you really.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you're in a situation where you don't really have a choice, you know.
I don't have a choice.
So you're going at it, which is cool. You know, I probably would have said, fuck you people, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's what I want to say almost every day.
I know. But you're doing it anyway, and that's what it takes in life. You know, you got to do whatever's necessary.
Yeah, and I think what keeps me around in this job is I really like working with my boss when it's just her and I.
Right.
Like before all of this, I could come in after the radio show. She was flexible. If I had an audition and things like that, she's great to, you know, kind of like spend time with or talk to. But now that there are two other people involved, it's a total shit show. And plus, like, the guy that's there is just so entitled. He leaves dishes all over the counter. Like, there was, like, jelly smeared all over the counter this morning.
He
leaves like cereal out. He never like tucks the bag in, so everything goes stale all of the time because he just leaves the bags open, the bread bag open. like dishes on the counter, can't put anything in the sink. Like,
you know, it makes you wonder. I mean, a fucking adult can't even do those things. You
yes.
know? It's like, it's pathetic, really.
It's, oh, I can't. You know? Took the word right out of my head.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't like to live with other people, you know, even yeah. my kids. My son was living with me. It was hell, you know?
Yeah.
All the shit he would leave and that. And now my daughter lives with a roommate. She's got the same issue
yeah.
with them, you know?
I'll tell you, the roommate I have now is the best roommate I've ever had. Mm. He cleans up after himself. You know, the only thing he does that annoys me is he takes up too much. He'll take up the entire freezer. And I'm like, can I just have like some space in the freezer, please? But that's like the smallest thing to ever even think about, you know? And I remember when I first started taking care of this family during Corona, we had this whole discussion and I'm like, I would just, you know, he told me, he's like, well, why don't you just, I'm like, you have to understand, I'm like doing dishes now and I'm cooking and I'm cleaning. And I'm like, you have to understand that this is like a little frazzling for me.
Right.
And he's like, well, you know, you could just leave it for the housekeeper. I'm like, I'm not going to leave food on the dishes overnight like you do for the housekeeper to come clean the next morning. Like, I wouldn't, like, the housekeeper and I are a team, you know?
Right,
like, we,
right.
I just wouldn't feel right doing that because that's not what I would do in my own home. And he's like, well, that's on you then if you want to clean it. That's your OCD. I'm like, no, I'm actually living here too now. I would like to have a clean kitchen counter. I would like to have the sinks empty yeah, and clear. Yeah, yeah. And plus coronavirus.
I don't think that's too much to expect, you know?
No, and plus coronavirus is going on. Like, uh-huh. I don't know what you have. We keep distance. So if you leave your dishes out, that's more contamination.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And then they become defensive and they start attacking you, you know?
Yes, yes. I've just like so you, had it with him.
OCD, whatever, you know?
Yeah, he's like, that's bullshit. On you then. That's your OCD. Yeah. You can't. And I'm like, I mean, I'm living here too now. Like, I have to live here.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
So that's like the fucking person I'm dealing with at the house right now, man. Yeah. He's like the worst part of it all. And we have this little tea tray because they're English, so they drink tea like nonstop. They never drink water.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like three spoons on there. And like this morning, like one spoon had like honey all over it, just like all over the thing, like all over the tray. And then the other one had coffee grinds all over it. There's coffee grinds all in the sink. And he leaves everything so that it gets crusty and then you have to like scrape it off. You're yeah. sitting there really putting in elbow work versus just like rinse yeah. your plate.
That's yeah, pick up after yourself.
I even mean, if you leave your plate in the sink, just yeah. rinse it.
Yeah.
Just put water on it, something, you know, yeah. just so that I don't have to sit there and scrub. So yeah. inconsiderate. And he thinks he's so aware. He thinks he's so mm. much more intelligent than everyone. It's like okay. such a joke. It is such a joke.
Well, I feel bad for you, Jen.
I feel bad for me, too.
Yeah, right? That's the best I can do for you.
I'm just trying to hang in there, you know?
Yeah.
Man.
I know. I don't know how you're doing it. I wouldn't.
A lot of teeth grinding.
Yeah.
My dentist would be upset.
Yeah. But you're determined, you know? That's very important, you know? You'll get through this, too, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the situation is so fucking bad. Now they're saying that this is probably going to last like, where is it? Hold on a second. Up to 2 more years of pandemic misery. That's what.
But we won't be in quarantine for that long.
Well, I don't know, but the misery is going to be, yeah. That's Dr. Fauci, I guess, saying that. Oh, but he expresses optimism, blah, 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 but the experts are saying 2 more years. It's hard for me to imagine how that's going to be, you know?
Yeah.
And it's starting to look like the new normal, you know? I mean, we'll see at what point things are going to start changing, you know?
Yeah. I wonder how it's going to affect the film industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to affect everybody, you know? And they're saying that sports, like, for example, right? I mean, that's probably going to take a while, concerts, all that
yeah,
stuff, right?
For sure. They
say it's going to be a year before sports return to normalcy.
Oof.
I mean, that's a long fucking time, you know?
Yeah, when was the last time sports were canceled?
Yeah, you know, for people to be out of work and stuff. I mean, this is going to be, like, a big deal.
I know, it's going to be a big hit because of all the unemployment.
Right.
You know?
It is, you know, and those that are employed, probably underemployed, you know, and we're having to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be pretty, you know. I don't know how we're going to deal with the continuing rent and everything. I mean, people already are having trouble with it, you know. April is over. People owe for April, and let's see how much longer that goes, you know.
As much as I actually do hope that, you know, everyone, we survive as much as possible and the economy survives as much as possible, there's still a piece of me that's like, how would it feel if everything totally just like crumbled and it was like you see in apocalypse movies,
right,
where it's like Mad Max or like
right.
anything like that, and everyone's just, you know, living in abandoned houses. And
I know. Well, that's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to lead to crime and weapons. And
for sure.
People are going to, like, kill for food, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope we don't get to that. I really do.
I hope so.
I can't imagine in a country like this at this time that we would, but who would have thought anyway, you know? Nobody could have predicted this. So it's tough, you know? I mean, the thing is that people... you know, when you're like this, when you stay home, it's the same feeling as not being employed, you know?
Yeah.
You know how you stay home, you don't work, you feel like shit about yourself.
Yeah.
All that stuff, you know?
Plus, not being active, like, really does affect the chemicals in your brain, you know? It's really important for us to stay engaged, stay active, and just do things.
Yeah, do things, you know? That's the thing. But still, you know, if you don't work... It's a bad feeling. You feel you're not worth anything. You're not being productive, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel that way, but thank goodness I still have work and I find things to do and stuff, so...
Yeah.
That works well. By the way, this morning on the simulator, I lost...
I was just going to say.
$600.
Oh, that's how much you made yesterday.
So fucking gone. But no, I mean, until I'm having a lot of green days...
Yeah.
You can forget about it. But using my real money because...
It's a slippery slope.
And it really is, you know. I mean, when you're making the money, you go, God, it's so easy, you know. And when you're not, God, it's so hard. The price just won't fucking go up, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I know. Man.
That's funny. But I'm studying. I figured, you know, I'm a student. I can't compare myself to him, you know.
That's true. I know. That's a really hard thing. Everyone always wants to compare themselves to whoever is the best, you know. But we have to understand, like.
Yeah,
it takes time.
It does. It takes time. A while,
that expert didn't start where they're at.
No, not at all. You know? But like I said, he's been doing it 5 years. I've been doing it, 5 days?
Yeah.
On the simulator, you know. I mean, I've been reading about it for a while, but...
total rookie.
Total rookie, yeah. So.
And that's okay.
Hold on to your money until you can't anymore.
Yeah.
And you have to put it there.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
I know. But I'm really excited about it. It's keeping me interested. And plus, you know, if you have... look, I didn't have time in the morning anyway. I mean, I only do it for about an hour and a half. And even if I wanted to, I couldn't have had longer.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, the market stays open. You can still make up your losses by the end of the day.
Oh, I thought it closed kind of early.
No. It starts at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it goes till 1 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
And 9:30 to 4 Eastern time.
Okay.
So that's the time the markets are open. But no, most of the activity is like right when it opens, you know.
Sure.
So you realize that about an hour and a half in, there's not that much action anymore. The price doesn't move that much, you know.
Right.
So that's a story there, and we'll see how we continue, you know. I mean, this guy's like, 9 grand today he made.
What?
In an hour and a half.
What happens with taxes on this money?
Well, I'm sure you get taxed, you know. I mean, it's income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'd mind getting taxed on it.
Yeah, you know, if you make good money.
Why not?
Yeah. But there are expenses. You pay commissions. You pay for the software to use, but it's not that much, you know.
Right.
I mean, when you add it up and stuff, but
yeah,
I dream of of a white Christmas.
Of a $9,000 a day. Me too. Oh man.
Yeah.
I really do.
Right. That's not hard to live on, huh?
No, I think
life.
I could make that work. I might just make it, but it'll be okay.
But it seems like not fair. Some people work 6 months, they don't make $9,000, you know?
I know.
And here you make it in an hour.
You know?
It's unbelievable.
I know, but you're also taking the chance that you don't,
yeah,
or that you're losing
taking
that.
Risks, yeah.
You know, so.
You are taking risks, there's no question about it.
High risk, high payoff.
Exactly.
You know,
it's always
so
like that.
Fortune favors the brave, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're brave enough to do it. How long do you anticipate that you'll study for?
Well, I'm sure I'm going to continue studying as I use real money, too.
Sure.
But it's probably going to be like another 3 weeks, maybe.
Okay.
I need enough practice with this, you know, to start seeing that I can put real money in, and you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the funny thing is, I haven't even started doing his strategy yet. I'm just like practicing, kind of
sure
going along with him and stuff. But he's got strategies, you know. It's
can
like,
you put any amount of money in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you put in $100, the most you could lose is $100.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah. But you're not gonna go with $100, you know. I mean, you go with 100 shares maybe as minimum.
Sure, sure.
And if the shares are like $2 or something, you know, that's not a lot. But you're also not going to make a lot. So
sure.
You know, you only make a few dollars if you only put in
so
a
scary
couple of $100, right?
So scary.
I know.
Ugh,
I know. It
gambling
is scary, you know. It yeah is like gambling, but you know what they tell you? That gambling is like more luck, right? And
sure
it's always biased towards the house, too.
Sure.
Here it's not, you know? Here it's
yeah
not.
That's comforting.
Here it's biased towards the people that know how to do it, but.
Sure.
And that's the thing.
But
so
that's how it should work.
Yeah, so you can learn the skill, you know? I mean, there's yeah still some kind of luck in this, obviously, like everything else. But if you know what you're doing, you know, because just like as. When you don't know what you're doing, you reliably lose, you know?
For sure.
You
for
always
sure
lose. It's like I go, well, why can't I like by fluke make money, you know? But it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I remember the first time I went to Atlantic City to gamble for my 21st birthday, my sister got us a hotel. And she gave me $100 to play back blackjack.
Uh-huh.
And I put it all in. And I won like, I think like $400.
Wow.
In the first round.
Right.
And then as the night progressed, we
yeah
eventually got down to about $100. So I was up 100.
I know that's a beginner's luck, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It always yeah happens, you know. You do well and then you go, oh, that's easy. I can continue doing this.
Oh yeah, that's
and
easy.
You lose everything.
Seems so easy.
I know.
Yeah.
I was going to ask my friend. Oh, well, I did ask my friend to call in today. And yesterday we talked to Don, my friend.
Right.
And today we're going to talk to his twin, Doug. And so I'm going to call him and we'll have a couple of words with him. You'll see he's a lot of fun.
Great.
He
is
really
he's,
is, you know.
He's calling in?
No, I'm calling him now.
Okay, great.
Just to be safe on the safe side, you know. And we'll see what's going on with him. Last night we left so hard together. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, pick up, man. He probably is busy.
Yeah, Doug, how can I help you?
Yes, Doug. This is your friend in L.A.
Who's this, please?
It's your friend in L.A. What do you mean, who is this, please?
Oh,
it's just
hey,
a diff-
Sam.
It's just a different
can
number.
I call, can I call you back?
Yeah, call me back at this number. Bye, Doug.
Okay. You should have had me answer and been like, hello.
Yeah, I know, right? Who is this, please? Yeah,
I
didn't recognize the number.
I had fun last night. We had so many laughs.
Oh, yeah, man. So, yeah, so... So the rent thing, and I'm thinking about it, that it's very difficult, you know, because.
Wait, the rent thing? What rent
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, the when we're talking about it, people mm-hmm not able to pay their rent and stuff.
Yeah.
So now people are, like, making creating groups of people that are anti-paying the rent. Now, you know, the thing is this, it is hard for us, right?
Sure.
But the landlords, they have to pay their mortgage too, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
So we can't take it for granted that we're sticking it to the man or something, you know? I mean, it's like a chain reaction.
Sure.
So, you know, and especially at the house I'm renting, I'm like, if I don't pay them, you know, they're deep shit too, you know?
Sure.
And although we're all in the same boat and everything, you wouldn't want your customer not to pay you, you know, at a time like this and stuff. So I think there's a certain responsibility that you have to have.
Sure.
And
I think what people are thinking is that landlords have all this power and money and all of that. But a lot of times the landlords are struggling too.
Yeah, you know. You don't buy shit like this for cash, you know.
Sure.
Buildings and houses and things like that.
No, not at all.
So you have your own mortgage to pay.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't, like, people feel they deserve not to pay rent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who owes it to you, you know?
So who's above the landlord? The bank?
The banks, yeah.
So it's really the banks that should, that people should be going for instead of the landlords.
So the banks are saying that they're giving people assistance and stuff. And, yeah. You know, so I don't know how much that is true, but I need to try again. Did you go on the IRS Gov thing to try and get your thing? Yeah. Well, you're going to have to come up with some numbers there and stuff, too. They want to... I went up there, and I found out that they don't have my direct deposit thing.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So then I went back, and they're like, you used it too many times. I'm like, fuck
so
this,
you're locked
man.
Out.
Yeah. It's like, what is this, you know?
Yeah.
Why do they have to make it so difficult for
people? Well, they want to make sure no one's trying to hack into your
information. I don't think it's hack. It's just they don't want a lot of people there at the same time. They don't want people checking it five times when the website is overwhelmed, you know?
Yeah.
But give me a good answer the first time. I'm not going to come back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely give me a good answer.
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
No, right?
It's never that easy. Never going to be.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about stock and stuff, and I'm thinking if I had some money, I would have invested in Zoom because everybody's using Zoom now, right?
And House Party.
Right.
Yeah.
House Party, that's also a...
It's like a Zoom kind of thing,
oh, it
I think.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say that apparently Facebook and Google are now coming up with something too. So
I know I'm looking to invest in something and I don't know what yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So Zoom, but that's the thing. Zoom already shot up, you know, so you don't know how much more it has. But I mean, today a good investment would be in a company that might come out with a vaccine or something.
You know? Right, right, right.
But you never know, you know. So, I'm glad Facebook and Google are doing this because, you know, we should really do, you know. And I figure if it comes from Facebook, it's guaranteed to work. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, to work on Facebook.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Facebook releases it.
It is kind of glitchy.
Facebook, you know. But, yeah, I mean, Zoom is okay. But once you go out to Facebook to put it live on Facebook, then there's like a whole problem there. So there are new services called Messenger Rooms, and Google is coming out with Google Meet, and those are free to anybody. So how do you compete with free, you know?
I think it's really interesting how all of these like programs like Zoom and House, like I don't know when House Party came out, but I feel like all these video programs started like were introduced to us like a few months ago, just before all this is happening. And I was talking to a friend yesterday about, you know, coronavirus and how it happened, if it was planned, if it was created, and how it got here. And it just seems so shady, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just an interesting thing that all these programs kind of came out just before all
this happened.
Well,
maybe you just discovered about them before. I mean, Zoom's been around for a while.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen it a lot.
No, I've seen it for a while, you know. And here's Doug. So let's talk to Doug now. Doug, thank you for calling back, my friend.
Well, how are you doing?
Good. I want you to meet Jen.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Yeah, he's here in a woman, so he's putting on his suave voice.
Yeah.
How you doing, Doug?
Are you kidding? Today is going to be a fantastic day.
Why is that?
I wake up with a smile on.
Really?
We get to live in a world where there's crazy people.
Yes.
All of the time.
That's true. Of the time.
But, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You have to be a little bit crazy to want to change the world, don't you?
I suppose, yeah, but you always want to change the world, you and your brother.
Or maybe we just get so fed up with the crazy people that we decide we need to change the world.
Right?
Yeah.
Or we're just damn bored.
Damn bored, yeah. That's one thing that I can't argue with, you know. But so let me just tell people, Doug is a very good friend of mine, and he's the twin brother of Don, to whom we talked yesterday. They own BBS Radio. It's another internet radio station, and they were my inspiration definitely for this. I met Doug first, and it was very interesting because I was doing accounting at the time. I went and did some accounting for this company, and Doug was hanging out there, you know, working with them and stuff. And one day we were talking, and it's like blah, 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 internet radio. And I'm like, what? You know?
Ding, ding.
Never heard it before.
Yeah.
So then I thought, wow, I can have my own radio show, you know?
Yeah.
On their station or something. They said, sure, you know, go ahead.
Yeah.
And, but then I thought, you know, I want a studio and everything. And I always had this dream of having a radio show.
Sure.
And I thought this is like possible now. So these guys, they're like innovators. They see everything in advance, you know? And, I wish I had your energy, you know, and your drive. But as much as I have it, you guys have it more, right, Doug? Would you agree?
Donald and I were born twins. Twins are competitive.
Well, I hope you were born twins.
We lived in a competitive world in every direction.
Yeah.
And that stimulates the mind to think, you know, most people, they get into a business, they spend 20 years, and then they see things that aren't correct and they want to start fixing them, right?
Right.
Sure. Or they see a better method because they just, they've been doing it for so long, they could save a step if they did it this way, right?
Right.
Well, we think like that all the time. And that's the only way to be an entrepreneur, is you're seeing something that somebody else hasn't done and doing it.
Right.
And that's how you were brought up. So it's a lot of fun for us. I mean, the hardest environment. Look, we're in a medium that changes faster than any industry.
Right.
And we're trying to make that work.
Right.
At a level where you don't have like $1 million players involved. Right. I mean, what we do, where you don't have $100 million $100 million in the bank. You're doing it as an entrepreneur. So you got to figure out ways that are efficient.
Right.
And that's something Donald and I are, you know, we love to do. So
yeah.
Knock on wood, I'm going to be here forever.
Yeah. And building things constantly, you know, that's
building things.
Yeah, they do have a touch of megalomania, but
that's okay. Come as you are, all are welcome.
Exactly, you know,
if they're doing it, it probably originated here.
Exactly, you know, wanting to own the fucking world, man.
I hear that.
Oh, wow, man. So tell us a little bit. You guys were born in Canada, right?
Born in Canada, raised in a time period where finance was the penny market.
Wow.
You know, we lived in the Canadian market. You had the penny industry, right?
Right.
Everybody giving, like, you have the OTC over the counter, then you might go to the NASDAQ, then you might go to a full-blown exchange. But what are the dollar-level stocks? They're like the penny exchange. And that really happened in Canada, and that was a part of our life growing up, you know, building companies by issuing stock.
Right.
Yeah, on penny exchanges, and or buying shells, or buying out a company that had lots of stock. Shareholders, but it was trading 5 or 10 cents, and over a year you could buy the whole issuance, right? You're already public. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
and we'd work with a half a dozen companies at once. And this was right when the market crashed in 87.
Oh, okay. You were there.
Or was it? Yeah.
You were invested
I
at the time.
There, it was a devastating blow. I remember they knew about it a week in advance.
Really?
You know, they're broke. Major brokers all got together and said, "We're all going to put $10,000 down. We're going to short. There's going to come a point where we're all just going to go in and short the market."
Right.
And interestingly enough, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. We should have. You know, we were one of the most powerful organizations there at the time, so we knew kind of everybody.
Right.
But we didn't do that. And I actually did the opposite. My dad was off finding one of the biggest ore bodies in Europe, and believe me, it was. I was stuck when the market went bang, and so I stepped in for $1 million in credit more.
Wow!
Now imagine doing that at $2 or $3 a share for half a dozen companies, and then seeing the market worth 10 cents the next by the time you're done.
Wow!
Good.
And having 40 or 50 brokerage firms all around the country. Desk traders, everybody, the people that move paper calling me scared, and your massive clients all calling you and they just want your help or get out or there's no bids. Can you help? There's no bids. There's any bids, no matter where you sell. So I felt, I was 17, 18 years old and I was like, okay, I've been doing this for a few years. I moved a lot. I took it all.
Yeah.
And my dad wasn't there. He told me, don't. Yeah. Well, let's just say that was the start of pain. And the pain didn't go away for a couple of decades on many levels because that propensity to act and not be discerning, didn't come about me until much later in life. You know, the people when you're dealing with business, we dealt with them all. Top people, people in the covers of magazines, the people behind the biggest companies you hear. Well, we were the people behind them raising all the capital, doing all the paperwork. Ultimately, they, made out like bandits. But the shareholders generally, when you start out with an idea over a napkin, you got 10 powerful people there and you're all putting your idea and then you're starting to move it. Those people can do very, very well. But the shareholders, liable to have problems and bankruptcies and vending out assets and new players as it grows, as it goes along, right?
Right.
And I was raising money in that period and people didn't really do very well. So
there you go.
Wrong time.
It wasn't a rewarding experience, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Now I don't do that anymore. My brother and I just won't do that anymore for other people, no matter who you are, because I don't know who you are until something goes wrong.
Exactly.
It's like a relationship.
And there's so good-hearted. They're like naive,
Yeah.
Yeah. I said
and you know.
Doug, wait, let me get a word in advice here. First of all, so the crash was in 87. You hadn't been born yet, right?
88.
So for you, it's ancient history.
I was born in 68, buddy.
In 68, right. No, I was talking to Jen. So you were like, 20 years old?
I was like 19 years old when the market took its belly up.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you've been through a lot,
in the industry for about 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But believe me, I wasn't a peon in the industry.
Yeah.
There were times where 10% of the volume was moving on the exchange because of the people I knew.
Right.
And the conversations that were taking place.
Right.
So we handled 5 companies and the markets on that.
Yeah.
So it was a lot. And that, I was just too young, but I was good at it.
Yeah.
I was good on the phone. I'm good. And I believe you. And I'm 19 years old. When you tell me you got blackjack thinking it's hitting 25%, I'm like, baby. I'm getting on the phone. I'm calling everybody at 1 in the morning. I'm getting out of bed saying, you're going to be in the market tomorrow. I'm going to come over there with an ugly stick.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Doug, listen.
What are you on? I need some.
Are you on speed or coke or anything?
Adderall.
Not everybody's accustomed to your
coffee by 10 in the morning. I've got in my system.
You should be on one of those people that the auctions. At the auctions, people are like, $100, $200, $200.
Yeah.
I'd always use this term in response to that. I go slope.
Yeah.
That's is amazing.
Your friend's calling, but tell it to wait a few minutes.
A person who is degrading his own conversation.
Yeah.
A slope.
Doug, I quickly want to tell people about the advice you and your brother gave me on dating. And Jen would want to hear that one.
So Jen,
we always laugh about this, but let me set it up real quick, Doug. So I went to visit them, right? And I go on Bumble, and I connected with this woman.
Sure.
Pretty, everything, you know, she seemed nice. So we hadn't really talked on the phone or anything. We just decided we were going to talk the following day.
Sure.
And then meet for breakfast or something, right?
Sure.
So I got up the next day and I'm like, you know, I don't know if I want to, because I'm going back home, and if something happens, then it's a long distance relationship and I don't want one, right?
Sure.
Okay. So I told her, I said, you know, I'm not going to have time. I got to go back, but, you know, sure, I don't want to start something. So that was how that was. So then I stick around for a while, and they're going, well, you know, you got to call her and tell her that you have some time and, you know, and you want to meet her. I said, it's kind of late now, you know, after I told her I don't want to, or that I can't, or whatever,
sure,
right? And they're like, so both of them. I go, no, you got to call her, I said, no. You know, it's stupid now. You know, it's too late. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. So they go, no, call her and tell her that you've got some extra time.
It took us a half hour to convince Sam to do this.
Yeah, they convinced me to call her and make a fool out of myself and make it worse.
It was absolutely unbelievable. It took
unbelievable.
Us a while, but
you
finally
made it work.
Got him convinced that after he told her that he's leaving town right away, that, you know, a few hours later, write her back and say, no, I'm still here. Let's get
So you
and
did. You
so
right.
I did. And she's like, well,
I'm sticking around. And that's the last thing. That's the funny thing.
And the thing is, I didn't want to go out with her. Suddenly they have me like thinking.
It worked out so well for him. I'm going to charge
you.
They
brainwashed you.
Yeah. They brainwashed me. And, you know, and you start thinking, well, they're two and I'm one. Maybe I'm wrong, you know?
Right.
So I call her and she's like, well, I'm already out hiking with a friend, you know?
Yeah, a friend.
So I'm like, fuck, you know? That was too
it
late.
Worked out so well for him. Next time we're going to have to charge him for our advice.
Yeah, I know. So I told him, I said, no more dating advice from you two, goddammit, you know?
I mean, I understand both logic. I mean, you could have been like, hey, look, change of plans. Are you still available? And she could have been.
Right, but I did cancel her plans too, you know?
Yeah.
By changing my mind in the morning, so.
Yeah.
You know, she could have been irritated maybe or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But at any rate,
I'm worse. You couldn't do worse. Look, you took advice from a guy who's single.
I know. And a guy's been married. And a guy's been married for 20 years and he's a hermit.
But that's the rule. Single people always have the best advice, and people without children always have the best advice on how to raise kids.
Yeah, right.
I'm the guy who used to put out a profile that used to say, well, I really don't have a life. I don't really have a job. I'm looking to do this. I spend all my time working, but I just hope I meet somebody. You think that works?
Yeah, I think so.
then I might put a picture up of me, you know.
Yeah.
Doing something really off the wall, off the cuff, sillier than hell.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
I'll post that picture like an idiot just so that when women want to find out who I really am, man,
yeah.
I'm not that savvy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Doug, listen, let's continue on Monday because Jen's friend is calling in and I can't take the call until we hang up. So,
love you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Doug. Everybody, go out, check out bbsradio.com. You'll see really good programming. These guys really know what they're doing, and they're leaders, and they're very funny too. So maybe next week we'll have you both on the line, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a riot.
You know, we can do these sorts of things with our capability.
All right, Doug. So here comes the other call. I'm sorry.
Nice meeting you, Doug.
I'll call you later, my friend.
As my now deceased father would say,
yeah.
Blah.
Blah. Okay. Blah. All right, Doug. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Right. What a trip.
Let's take the next one. Okay. Good morning. You're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
So, Jen, who are we talking to?
This is Teresa Yislas Beardsley.
Hi, hey. Teresa.
Hey, she's an awesome filmmaker, producer.
Oh, yeah. Are you calling from here or from L.A.?
From L.A.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, Los Angeles. East L.A., what's up?
Oh. Yeah, so Teresa and I met in New York, actually, in an improv school. And then we ended up living a block away from each other. And definitely. I would see her sometimes get off the train and turn onto her block, and then she moved out to LA a few years ago and has been convincing me ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are.
So you guys met there at the acting school, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Barrow Group.
Wow. Were you living there at the time, Teresa?
Yeah, I did New York for 6 years, and it's the best city in the world, I have to say, although it's really nice living in L.A. because...
No, it's not.
I don't know. I mean, look, like...
It's not.
It's so much bigger. Oh, my God. It's like, you could go outside and, anytime that you want in New York, you really can't. Gross,
yeah.
And stinky, but the food is so bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess.
So you lived there for 6 years. That's a long time.
That's how long I lived there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were originally from...
You gotta do it.
Teresa, you were originally from California?
Originally, yes. I was born and raised in Rainwood, California, which in the 90s was a town of about 1,500 people. Now it's about 3,000 people.
Wow.
In the mountains.
What's it called again?
Rightwood.
Oh, Rightwood. Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. I've never been, but yeah.
Wow, 1,600 people.
Yeah, that's
small. Insane. I bet everybody knows everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's why you had to get out of there, right?
Right.
No privacy.
Yeah, so I moved to New York.
Wow.
So what have you been working on during quarantine?
Oh my gosh. So it's crazy because I'm a filmmaker, so I'm generally traveling or I work with a lot of small crews and independent films. So I'm usually playing about 5 or 6 different roles on set, and I'm usually on the road. So now it's been nice because I guess I'm just kind of hang out, work on my own projects. I did my website.
Nice.
Still kind of working on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
And you're quarantined with Sam, right?
Yeah.
Oh, another
boyfriend.
Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, another Sam.
Her boyfriend's
okay.
Also Sam.
Yeah, I'm not quarantined with anybody. But
I have so many Sams in my life. I always have to clarify every time. I'm like, Sam, Radio Sam.
It's the best name ever. Yeah. That's why I called in. I was like, I got to talk to Morphe.
Well, that's good. So you're all set. You're a producer, right?
Yeah.
A producer. Yeah. And you've got a boyfriend and everything. That's pretty cool. So you got everything you need.
Exactly. Yeah. Got a full fridge.
Yeah.
Got a man.
Do you have kids yet? Are you married or boyfriend?
Just a boyfriend. Not married yet.
Oh, okay.
So before all this happened, I squeezed into a studio apartment. So now we're quarantined in the studio, which is
oh my fine. God, that's hard though.
It's a nice size studio though.
Yeah, it is cute. We have a patio.
But you don't have your own little spot. Right?
I know, but at least you have outdoor space. If you had a studio in New York, it's just you're just trapped inside. You can't open a back door and just go sit on the patio for a few minutes.
That's true.
You know, you're just stuck inside smelling everyone's gunk through the walls.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Or, of course, in Washington, there's always like the guy that's like right below your fire escape, like taking a poop.
Definitely taking a poop right below your fire escape.
Oh, good.
Like always. Especially my stoop was like a target for that.
Really?
There was always human shit on my stoop. And we lived in like a nice, it was like a nice area.
Yeah.
I mean, not like
nice.
Kind of nice.
There was that bar. You live right by that bar. That's my bar.
Yeah, they started putting in more like young people spots in that area.
Oh,
towards the
right.
end.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Just in time for me to leave. I was like, I'm not sticking around to see how this pans out. I gotta go. I gotta leave.
Yeah.
Are we out of time?
No, no. I'm just looking at someone calling me. Well, Teresa, we're not going to talk about shit anymore because we've been talking too much about shit today.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I talked about the coyote shit.
Yeah. And now we're talking about someone taking a dump under your fire escape. So,
that's regular New York talk.
Yeah, huh?
It's average conversation.
Wow.
Yeah. It's what kind of bagel you got this morning and who pooped where.
Oh God, man. I'm staying out of here. Forget about New York.
Yeah, don't go.
Too complicated for me.
Don't go.
Yeah.
Complicated's a word for it.
Yeah.
It's like you really gotta love it to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, the food's good and everything. You get to go out. There's a lot of things to do, but there's too many people, I think. And
yeah, and you're in Silver Lake, and there Silver Lake's like a mecca of great restaurants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, out here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is like, you know, it's kind of great. It is a little bit like New York. It is kind of like a walking area.
Right.
This is my first time living in a cool area in L.A.
Yeah.
Because I was in East L.A. proper for a little while, and then for the first three years I lived here. And so now I'm like, whoa, this is so weird. And he's like four times as expensive.
Yeah, I know.
But you can walk down the street and go to yoga, like get juice. But don't shop at Yummy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the selection is so bad and it's so expensive.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Teresa, we do have to go. We're almost out of time. Are you on social media? Do you want people to find you, or you just want to stay anonymous?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you can find me. I'm at Teresa from the block.
Oh, Teresa from the block. We have Jenny from the block here at the station. No, actually, she's got a show, Jenny from the block.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
And when things improve, we'd like to have you come into the studio so we can meet you in person.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, Teresa's working on amazing projects right now. She's working on this great sustainable energy project, and I'd love for you to come on and talk about that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, TT.
Okay, TT. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
You know, I feel like this is the first time everyone can really say their fridge is full. Like, I feel like
that's true, right?
People are filling their refrigerators more than they would normally.
Yeah, and also because the grocery store is one of the few things you can still do if you like shopping or whatever.
I know.
It's the only thing you can still do. That's why you go to the store and you see people that will probably never be there shopping. You know?
Sure. It's a real silver lining right now. I mean, I bought gas for the first time. I only bought gas once last month, and it was under $30 to fill my tank.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I know. I haven't really seen much of a price anywhere. So,
really? $2.85?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I see like three something everywhere I go, and people are like,
"This one's $3.25."
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen less than $3 anywhere.
If you go on Ventura, Ventura has at the 76 gas station, it's like $2.85.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I never really cared about gas station. I mean, gas prices that much, you know.
Yeah.
It adds up to just, you know, a couple more dollars here or there. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, $30 is cheap now to fill your car.
totally.
Yeah. All right, Jen.
All right. See you Monday.
Yeah. Everybody take care. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Be good on the weekend.
That's right.
Did I tell you last week I went to see the poppies? California poppies. They were like in... we drove out to Lancaster. Fields of orange poppy seed, poppy flowers and
wow.
stuff.
You know?
And it was beautiful. So... there's still room to go out and everything. You know, you can still go places, and that's a
drive
good thing,
and see.
You know? Yeah,
I know. Back home, the town I'm from is called Cherry Hill because we're known for our cherry blossoms. And I've seen photos from people who have posted back east, and there's just cherry blossom trees everywhere,
really?
Just full bloom. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Wow.
I miss it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So have fun.
All right.
You're gonna be working probably, right?
Yep.
She's
working.
To
the bone.
All right.
All right, see you later.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.